Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
Welcome to HubNet News. Man, Blog Talk is trying to run me out of business here. Welcome to HubNet News. Hey, boss lady.
Hey.
How you doing?
We got gospel music playing for HubNet News?
No, it's HubNet's just going all over the place. It's triggering our switchboard here, so I had to catch it before it got started.
Got it.
Welcome back, Pastor Dante.
Amen. Amen. Glad to be here. How are you guys doing this evening?
We're doing great. Well, I'm doing great. How you doing, Miss Michelle?
I'm hanging in here.
Amen. Amen. Good to hear your voice, Miss Michelle.
Oh, yeah. The message was powerful. Powerful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I'm still trying to recover right now. God is good, though.
Yeah, he is. Yep. Gotcha. And that testimony was awesome.
Amen. Amen. Yes, it was, you know. And those are the times that, you know, when we sit back and say, am I effective? Am I being effective to the masses? Am I doing what God has called me to do? And those are just the simple reminders that God is still working, you know, that you are effective, that you are doing right, and just to keep pushing forward, you know. And it's just a blessing. It's just a true blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
blessing.
It is powerful. Powerful.
Amen. Amen. And that goes to anybody. You know, if you feel that you are, you know, get down on your luck on something, and you know you're trying your best to do the right thing, and you're wondering, are you being effective? All you got to do is turn to God and let God be your guiding light. Let God be your guiding light in everything, and I promise you, it'll all work out.
Amen.
Amen.
Indeed. Brother Darius, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The gang's all here.
Amen.
Well, I like to always start with ladies first. Ms. Michelle, do you have any topics going on in the news that caught your eye you want to bring to the table?
Are we on live yet?
We're rocking and rolling right now.
Oh, okay. I thought the music was still playing. Welcome to HubNet News. We are here talking about the topics that nobody else is discussing. And if they are discussing it, they're not giving you the full truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Again, this is HubNet Online Network Radio Show. I think this is going to be aired Monday. So welcome. I don't even know where to start because there's so much going on in the news that it's just ridiculous. I'm still looking at this choice for a judge that Trump selected Supreme Court. And I'm just like, he selected them for a reason. I'm looking at some things he believe in. The one is the right to choose whether or not you can have an abortion or not. My concern with that is while I think that is not the right thing to do, my fear is that without that being in place, we're going to have a lot of these young girls doing things to themselves to abort these children, and it's really going to be bad, you know, the wrong way. So, you know, that other than that, that's not, like, the main thing, this boat disaster.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
Let's tackle one topic, and then we'll just go around the room and then come back to your next one. You guys want to speak on
that's
her?
That's the main thing. Yeah, that's the main thing I have.
Okay, cool.
Well, you know, I just to say that, you know, everything that's going on in this administration right now is just up in the air. You know, it's just like a bunch of mess. And I just hope that at the end of the day that the American people will, those who wanted him in office, will see the error of their ways, will see what he's doing to this country, and that it's not right. You know, the things that we're that as a American people that we have tried to conquer and tried to move past have all been thrown right back in our faces, just like we're back in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s all over again. And I just hope and pray that somebody sees the truth now, that we have to get rid of this negativity and this evil that trying to divide us. You know, I always say, united we stand, divided we fall. And if we do not get this evil out, we can forget it. We can truly forget it.
Yep. Brother Darius?
Yes, I'd like to speak about that boat tragedy in Missouri. I saw it on TV, and then when I saw my Facebook page Friday, there was a family. I said, oh, my God. I said, wow. It just, like, my heart ached for him, because I've been through a loss of my relatives since the last part of 2017, but not losing them all at once on that boat, it's just like, what can you say? I just feel bad for that family. I really do, and I just had it. If I had them, I just wish I just give them a hug.
Amen.
And then that Trump mess with Putin, and what he said about he didn't trust the CIA intelligence, FBI intelligence about interference in the election. When he said that, I wasn't surprised because that's his behavior. But everybody was so up in arms. I said, this is what you see is what you get.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I keep harping on this. You can march, protest. You can do all that you want. That's your freedom of speech. But if it don't mean nothing, if you don't go down to vote this November for the midterms.
Okay. We need to go around with the next topic. We want to make sure we give everybody the equal time to speak, because this show will be over quick as a hiccup. So let's try to hit one topic. Everybody go on to one topic and go on to the next one. That way we all get a chance to touch everything. To Michelle's point, that Supreme Court nomination issue is very scary. Just to give you an idea, he thought that the U.S. Supreme Court decision in 1999 with the White House recordings, the Watergate stuff with Richard Nixon, he says that was wrongly handled. So if he thinks when the Supreme Court forced Richard Nixon to turn over his tape of the secret conversations, if he thinks that was poorly handled, just imagine when he gets in there and how he's going to lean to protect Trump. So, Michelle, I agree with you 100%. The duck boat situation, I don't know if you guys are aware, but we had something similar happen here in Philly with the same company. In fact, the operator of the duck boat is doing time in prison still. It happened in 2008, where they ran out of town, were no longer allowed to do business here. The operator, two people died, actually, in our situation, and where the boat literally drove under a barge and got the boat crushed. So when we saw here in the news, every news channel here in Philly that reported, they all went back to that, like, you know, hey, remember that happened here. Okay, so who else has something else to bring to the table?
Well, I do. Go ahead, Brother Darius.
Well, this is interesting. This is it came, I think, also Friday about the NFL and the Players Association. They are going to have an open discussion to find a better way about the national anthem controversy. Be- because earlier that day, the Miami Dolphins decided if one of the players decided to take a knee during the anthem, they were going to be suspended up to 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess was
that's money.
NFL didn't want to go to court. They didn't want to go to court, so they decided you might as well just hear from what the players have to say and work out a solution, which they should have done from the get go.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
You also have to take in consideration those contracts. You know, back in the day when they had, you remember with the NBA, how they used to come to the games all jacked up with their, club gear on and stuff. Then they had to go back and say, you know, y'all got to come to the, just like you come to work, you got to come in suits and stuff like that. That was a big issue back then. Because now they have
to revisit
that and put that in the contract. You can't just be making up rules and don't put it in the contract. So, you know, being able to take a knee leans towards the right of freedom of speech, and anybody can invoke any their right to freedom of speech. As a matter of fact, in this case, they're not even speaking. You know what I mean? You can't say that you're saying they're saying something they shouldn't be saying because they ain't saying nothing. They're like, you can't keep a person from bending down on their knee. I'm trying to figure out how is that going to work. And if what we discussed last time a couple months ago, a month or so ago on the show, if all these black players get together and do the same thing and say, you know what, y'all need us just as bad as we already got our change, or my contract say you still got to pay me. If we stand out a couple of games or what, just like Kawhi Leonard is doing a couple of games or whatever, y'all going to hurt just as bad as we are. And them owners don't want that. They don't want it. So I'm in agreement with that one. I would like for you to make sure you post that up in the group, please. That story. I want to talk about.
Hold on. Let's pass the Dante get his turn on the topic that Darius put on the table. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I also agree. I think that it should be an option. Something needs to be put in place, and if a person does not want to stand for the national anthem, they should not have to stand for it. I think that most people they all say, oh well, that was in a time of those words or those sentences that were taken out the national anthem. They took them out, so what's the big deal? But you have to also remember that for us as black people whose families and ancestors dealt with the crack of the whip, you know it. To us, it's like, okay, well, it was just a little while ago. Y'all saying to forget about it. But we can't forget about it because we're still experiencing the racism. It's just in a different form now. So, you know, for you to remove, a few lines from the national anthem and think that that's erasing the history that we've all, that our ancestors experienced, it does not. And so we have to, you know, when we know better, we have to do better. The fact that now we know better, we know what's going on. I stand with anybody who kneels with at the national anthem simply because if it's their choice. You cannot take a choice away from a person if that's what they want to do.
Mm. All right. I just see it as Trump appeasement. His good old boy buddies who own these teams, they just had to do something to make him happy. I'm glad that they froze everything, and you know, because this is going to be a mess if they do not get this fixed by the beginning of the season. We don't want to go in with this is a racist move, because you know, if a black man bends his knee in dispute or protest, he has to face some kind of penalty, and that's not fair. So I'm glad they're freezing it. I'm hoping that ultimately by the time the preseason starts, there will be a dissolvement of their rule because it's archaic and stupid. So,
the last thing on that is if the fans take a stand, if the fans take a stand and stop going to these games, then we're going to start having some issues. It needs to be a movement. Whenever a player, if you black, anybody that takes a knee during the national anthem, you need to be on yours too. You know what I mean? And you get put out the game. Come on. That if enough people do it, what you gonna put out? You gonna put out 500 people? You gonna put out 2,000 people?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Refund them back all their money on several games. Just keep on doing it. Several games, really. And I'm talking about all nationalities. You know, you hear people say, we feel for us. At work they want to be standing up talking about, it's the right thing to do. We're with you. No, you're not. I don't see you down there on your knee when you at these games. You know what I mean?
Well,
if you with us, then you down like you on your knee, with you on your knee, with us. With you, and we need. To, first of all, it starts with us. Enough black people ain't supporting Colin Kaepernick's situation. They're not. We're not supporting it. We're not. That's what the problem is. The players. I feel like the NFL players are doing this on their own. They do not have our support as black people.
Okay.
Well,
all we doing is sitting up talking, and we ain't doing nothing about it. But if we got a movement and people, 5,000 people get together and say, when we go to this game, we're going to take a knee. When the players take a knee, I bet you they won't put all 5,000 people out and refund them back their money and do it every time there's a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well,
so
okay.
We want to try to separate. We want to separate that movement. We want to separate that decision to get down on your knee. And some people, a person I had a conversation with, that's politics, and that's not about, it shouldn't be in sports. No, it's not. You know, everybody has their opinion about everything, that's my take
statement.
On that.
That's a ridiculous statement. It's politics and everything.
Right,
well,
right.
This country,
politics,
everything.
You just want to watch the game. Why we got to be
exactly.
Why we got to be about politics, you know?
You know,
so they try to not. Some people, one dude was like, I don't even come during the national anthem. I always make sure I come afterwards. You know what I mean?
Well,
so,
do like one
okay.
Browns group did.
And I
do,
think
do
I
like
said, my... and I think somebody, the one dude disagreed with me that got on the line and got off, I think that the other sports leagues need to also join in on that. We're not doing enough, and they know we're not going to do enough. You know, just sitting up interviewing and talking about it at the NBA games ain't doing shit. It ain't doing nothing. So that's
okay.
Just my take on it. It's at a crucial time now. It's like do or die situation. It's like this country's so messed up. It has to be something radical. We have to come together on all fronts, not just football fans, not just golf fans, not just soccer fans. All sports should be coming together. And everybody
yep.
should say, you know what, this is not right. That's my take on it. So if you're not,
understood.
You know, if you're an NBA player, as much weight as your boy LeBron has, that's what I was saying the last time we had that one show, he should start a movement. What they going to do? He's going to start losing his, he got a lifetime billions of dollars contract with Nike for life. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Please.
All right. I'm rocking with you on that one. I agree completely.
Amen.
Pastor Dante, you had a topic you want to bring to the table?
Something that just came across my news feed that happened in Nevada. It was another church shooting. This one was now at the Mormon church, which left one dead and one wounded. It says two people were injured in a shooting at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at their meeting house Sunday in Fallon, Nevada. The suspect is in custody. The suspect was arrested Sunday after the shooting, which left one dead, one wounded. The shooting took place during a service at the church in front of the congregation, as many as 50 people. According to ABC 8, they said that the gunman, the 48-year-old gunman, John Kelly O'Connor, said that he fired on the people and then just walked home. That he surrendered after the police called him and asked him to do so. He just surrendered. You know, the attack is not only on the people, but it's also on the church.
Mm-hmm,
And regardless to what people feel about denominated religion and denominated affiliation, the church is still the church. And if Jesus Christ is the head, then it is the church. And so I just feel like all of these church shootings that's happening and all these people that's being hurt and killed, we as the people, we need to start looking at the bigger picture and saying, are we doing what we are supposed to do for God? Too many times we remove God out of schools, out of we're almost removing God out of church, to be quite honest with you, because it's becoming a financial cow. And when that happens, when you remove God out of the situation, then you're gonna just promote and create damnation. I say it all the time that you have to have. If you don't have a recipe of holiness, you're gonna have a recipe of damnation. And when the damnation hits, don't look to God. But and I just feel like this is just becoming too much, and we need to start getting back to the original source, and that's serving God openly. And stopping all this craziness, because one person has lost their life. The other person was shot in the leg, and they're being hospitalized now. But we need to remember those too. I mean, because you know, when you go into church, that's the last thing that you expect. You know, it's sad now that we have to go in church and watch the back door, watch the front door as people coming in, just because we don't know who may come in with a gun. Or Betty, and just imagine those pastors, they have to carry their pieces with them up in the pulpit because they're afraid that if a gunman come in, that they may have to shoot them.
Yep.
Mm.
It's sad. And in the church.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. It's, okay. That's a terrifying story. Who wants to jump on it?
I think they should carry their guns. I think they should have, you know, it's getting to the point where we live in a society where from churches to movies to shopping malls, you know, you just gotta have security or a police officer, some kind of something going on to protect you. That's in the free country that we call ourselves being in, it ain't that free. We have to literally be like a third world country and walk around here with guns, and that don't even really even solve the problem. You know, you got to be on point though when you got the gun. You know what I'm saying? You in your prayer, down on your knees, and you got your keys in your purse. You know what I mean? And you don't see them coming. You know, you can't
the gun don't mean
pray
nothing.
That way. That don't mean nothing having it on you. You know what I mean? So
yep.
That's sad, Dante. That's sad. I don't even know what to say on that.
Brother Darius?
I just posted that on my Facebook page, too. Thanks for that.
Yes, ma'am.
We had a local story here, two of them. First, it was like this time last Saturday, my friend was killed in like in a police chase. And then it was all bad, and she died instantly. And my message is, it's like the fourth time here in the city of Dayton that a female passenger died in hands of either police chase or shooting. It's just getting out of hand.
Yeah.
And we had a local story here about a six-year-old kid going for swimming lessons, and I don't know the rest, but to my best knowledge, there was the lifeguards that didn't watch him. He was under the pool. And I
right,
think
Darius, hold your stories. You can introduce it on the next round. We're covering the one that passed the put down. Do you have anything that
I'm
want
sorry.
To talk about on that? It's okay. It's all right. You can.
I'm so
that
sorry.
We can challenge. It's okay.
Okay. I like to probably a little bit of disagreement because with Janet, I've been in church, and one of the local churches here in Dayton, one of their local pastors, he has a gun, and he advocates other pastors to have it, but I disagree, because if you discharge that gun by accident and you kill a church member, the pastor can be sued, the church can be sued, and like this district, depending on your denomination, can be sued. So there's like a risk, lose-lose. But
Darius, being sued versus being alive is two different things, honey.
I understand, and not only that, I don't think a person would discharge their gun, you know, or pull their gun out unless they were being threatened, you know, inside of a church. You know, if you pull your gun out like that, and somebody gets shot in a crossfire. Well, you're trying to protect not only yourself but all those members who are there. And if a member would sue a church because they got shot in the crossfire, but technically, shame on them, because this pastor was protecting not only them but all the lives of all those around, not only their lives but the children. So that's not saying that I carry a gun in church, because I don't. But what I'm saying is I'm not going to look down on a pastor that may carry a gun. Some pastors are police officers. Some pastors are chaplains. Some pastors, you understand, have the right to carry. So you have to look at that and say, okay, you know what? I'm not only protecting my life but the lives of my members.
Yeah.
Because I just read over this story, and it's sad to me, because this guy, according to police reports, he came in looking for one person in specific.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad, because that's something we see here in Philly. Like, there's this almost in every hood in America, or ghetto, whatever you want to call it. There's this term, on site, and truth be told, as you can see, is not just a hood term anymore. There are other nationalities who now hold this philosophy. I know he's going to be in church, or she, whoever he was targeting. I know they're going to be at church. That's where I'm going to be, so I can pop them. Because I don't feel like looking for them any other time. I want it to be public. I want it to be ugly. I want it to be disastrous. I want people to remember that clearly this person either did something, or this person thinks this person did something to them, because, you know, this is full on diva. Walk in the church, middle of church, and start shooting at one particular person and hit one innocent by accident. So, in regards to the point with the pastors, I think there's a couple pastors that I'm aware of here in Philadelphia that actually either carries their, they have the license to carry, they either carry, they let the congregation know that they carry. Some I've heard even have security guards.
Yeah, they have security guards here.
Yeah, truth be told, they put it in and admit they put the ATMs in. You know, because the bigger churches, not so much as a mega, but they're
big,
on their way.
Big church. My church
yeah,
is a big
when you
one.
See,
and,
when you see
they got security
ATMs
up
come
there.
In, yeah, when you see the ATMs come in, that's when this is always good. And I'm okay with that. You should hire security, because everybody coming into the church ain't there for prayer.
Right. It should have been that way. Even these small
yeah.
churches. That's why that church with all them members got from a few years back got killed up in church, at black church. Really, to be honest with you, when you got people that are, you know, not believers and they are radical and stuff like that, it's a wonder that we haven't had this problem in the past, to be honest with you. People just going in you know, back in the slavery days, they used to burn our churches down, you know, with us in it. That's something different. But this is not really, is not nothing new. We living in times where when you going into movie theaters and shooting up kids and going into school shooting up, there's nothing off limits as far as I'm concerned. It's really sad, but you need to. I almost feel like I need to take mine with me to the movie theater. But my thinking on that is I can have it in my purse. I got a big purse, and if you ain't on point, you know, you can still get caught slipping. You know what I mean? Unless I got it in a gun holster or something like that. And we want to, we in the United States, a lot of us are living in a bubble. We don't want to, you know, though that's bad over there. That's them in Philly. But down here, we don't got them kind of problems. Over here, we don't got them kind of problems. And you might not. That's where a lot of people think. You know, out in these little rural towns and stuff like that, you don't hear, they don't have these little towns, you know, along the highways and stuff like that. They don't think like, you know, they live in a bubble. They don't have crime like we see in these big cities. You know, and so it's like, yeah, that's them over there. They like don't understand it. Movie theater, shut up. You know, that's not reality to them. So, I really don't know what the answer is. That's sad, and I don't think it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah, I personally don't think there is an immediate answer for this crisis. So that's what it is. Gun violence in this country should be. I mean, well, the World Health Association already said it. Violence in America is an epidemic. It should be treated like an epidemic. It should be all hands on deck. You know, I've never seen the city. My city has always been violent, but I've never seen it so grotesquely violent. Someone had, you know, Tuesday, a young lady was found in a suitcase, and her body was decomposed prior to being stuffed in the suitcase. And then it was just everybody came outside one day and said, "Ooh, what's that smell?" And it's just a body sitting by the dumpsters in a suitcase. Then another guy in another part of town, his body's been decomposed, then wrapped up in plastic and left off where someone can find it. Then later on that day, by Wednesday afternoon, someone took a decomposed body and dumped it on I-95. Like if you were heading from North Philly to South Philly. So clearly, and there's a lot of talk, you know, from the law enforcement community that this may be, we may be looking at a serial killer who's trying to get rid of his body. You see what I'm saying? So it's like he's picking weird spots to just dump them. So, I mean, it's like so many kids. I have 3 funerals. And I can't do them all, but I have 3 funeral invites for this coming Friday. I had 2 last week that I couldn't attend to because of health reasons. So, and of course, with black people, I mean, there's people dying all the time, but we can't bury our dead right away. So, so it's like, you know, I know at least 2 of these people for this coming Friday have been dead for about 3 weeks. And they're just getting their money together to get the funeral done. So, I mean, we're not as bad as Chicago, but we're getting there. When 5-year-olds can't be at a barbecue and have fun, little girls playing jump rope. You know how hard it is to find little girls that play jump rope in this city? And when they finally do, someone is shooting up the block. I mean, because they get one person. They'll shoot 50, 60 people outside. They'll shoot at one person. In a crowd.
Wow.
The term is
that's black
site.
On black
only
crime, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's us killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Are they the white boys coming to the hood shooting us up? That's us killing each other.
Yeah. But truth of the matter is, they got their violence, too.
Absolutely.
You know, historically in this country and statistically in this country, people of their own like will are more likely to assault and injure and kill each other. White boys got their problems too. Problem is, their problems are different than ours. They're stabbing, beating, jumps, you know, ran over by a car, that kind of thing. For some reason, there's this bravado that says if you got a gun, you got power in the black community. So, and that's sad. That is sad.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, you know, just to touch on what you were saying, Brother Akim, about the people getting the money up to bury their loved ones, we need to have a change, and we need to start speaking on how we as black people, we don't look at the bigger picture. We'll get insurance on our phones, but not insurance on our lives.
Right. Come on, Pastor, preach. Come on.
How do we do that? We'll have insurance on our clothes, insurance on our phones, insurance on our accessories, but not insurance on our lives. You know, to me, that's backwards. It's backwards thinking. And we as black people need to get away from that. We need to start thinking like everybody else thinks. Put $10 aside to pay a month for life insurance. Having wills set up to where nobody can just come in and just take all your stuff that you worked so hard for. These are the, you know, when all the other races, when they go, they have everything set up, almost everything down to what they're wearing, the plot they want to be in, how they want to look. But we, as black people, we don't do it. We let our children be burdened with that stuff when, at that time, that's not even something that a person can even think about. But we don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, death comes for us all. And we, young, old, indifferent, it doesn't matter. But we have to start thinking in a way that we will keep our families going and not put their burden. Because, see, the first thing we want to do is throw up a GoFundMe account. Well, how do a person know that all that money is that I'm sending you is going to that particular thing? A person don't know. That's something that's been bothering me for a while now. That we as people, we need to start thinking rationally and not thinking with our heads in the sand.
Yep, you're right.
Well, I wanted to bring a story to the table. I don't know if you guys all heard about the infamous Clearwater, Florida. Handicap spot fight shooting. A man by the name of Michael Dredka shot a man. Trying to get his full name here. Okay, Marquise McLaughlin was shot the other day by a man by the name of Michael Dredka. The Pinellas County Sheriff's Office said that McLaughlin was inside the store with his 5-year-old son when Dredka confronted McLaughlin's girlfriend about being parked in the handicapped spot. According to witnesses, when McLaughlin came out of the store and saw what was happening, he shoved Dredka to the ground. Dredka pulled out a handgun and shot McLaughlin once in the chest. McLaughlin later died at an area hospital. Now, since this happened in Florida and the man who was shot was the presumed attacker, this was the Stand Your Ground law that protected the shooter. And so basically the brother's in the store, a man's trying to get in a handicapped spot. He has a debate with the wifey. The brother comes out the store with his 5-year-old, and he goes over to the guy and just shoves, knocks him on the ground. Guy pulls out, pops him in the chest. So there is an uproar. When I tell you, I'm sorry you guys didn't hear this, but this has been dominating the news cycle for the outside of Trump. I guess because it's been so much Trump news, it probably got buried. But, wow, because I was like half out of it, and I saw this. I was like, wow, that's going to be ugly. So today they had a vigil outside the store, the friends and family and stuff like that. See, this is one of those – the reason why I brought this up is this is one of those situations where whether we agree with the guy, you're arguing with my wife, so I'm going to push you. Whether you have that philosophy or not, you got to be mindful. Everybody's packing these days. And if I'm a little wimpy dude and I got knocked on my butt and I think the next thing coming is feet to my face, I'm going to pop you. Now, that might sound a little rough to some, but when you live in certain environments, you become hard and you're callous. And these are the kind of people who are walking around, you know, doing what they're doing. What say you guys?
I'm 100% behind you, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And I believe that at the end of the day, was the young man justified by pushing the guy? I mean, you know, if it was me and I walk up and I see somebody in my wife's face, I would push him out her face. I would say, wait a minute, man, back up, you know, and just push him back. Say, hold on, back up. You know, would I swing on them? And no, but I would forcefully push them out her face. Would that create a situation? I'm probably sure it would. Would it mean a lot in my life? I would hope not. But it, at least, you know, that person would know. Okay, man, you're going a little too far. And I think, you know, as black men, that's just what we do. We have no problem with pushing somebody out of our face, especially one of our loved ones. I mean, you know, you don't get in my loved one's face. Don't do it. You know, and if I see it, I'm going to take care of it, especially my wife or my girlfriend or whatever. Don't do that. You're liable to get hurt. That's the mindset that we have. And that's just protecting our families. You know, that's what we do. You know, did he push it a little too far? I don't know. I haven't fully read this whole story just yet. But you know, I mean, I don't think that he was wrong in defending his wife or his girlfriend. But you know, if it went past pushing him out her face, then I would probably say he did go a little too far. But it's you never really know. You know, the situation can it's three sides to the story: his side, and the truth. So you just never really know. But I just think that again, you know, I would probably have done the same thing, was get him out of her face.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
Michelle, Darius, one of you guys want to.
Well, I've seen the video, but I've not read like the full story of what happened. All I've seen was the tape.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just here, just listening, trying to, you know, gather info if I see it again on Facebook, then I can see it. Okay. But I think the one that was pushed down shot the unarmed man, if I'm correct.
Yep.
Then
he got knocked on his butt and shot him. That's pretty much how it went.
Then you have a right to defend yourself.
Michelle, you there? Okay.
Yeah, I think we might have lost
it. I'm sorry, I dropped my phone. I'm listening to y'all. Can you hear me?
Yep, that was clear.
I dropped my phone. I was hoping and praying I didn't break the screen. Myself, I'm listening to y'all, and I'm thinking to myself, I would not want my husband to shoot the man he already done pushed the boy down to the ground. First of all, you shouldn't have pushed him down to the ground. 9 times out of 10, I probably would have been saying something myself. Then my husband would have had to get involved, but I think that was too much. She shouldn't have to have, nobody should have had to pull out no gun. You know, back in the day, we used to fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to, hold on, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Loud and clear.
Oh, shoot, I hope I didn't break my phone. I can't hear y'all. Okay. How about now?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Okay. We used to fight. So you said you're not impressing me at all. You just, why would you shoot that boy? I don't get
right.
that.
Well, the guy is saying he was afraid for his life. The guy knocked him down to the point where he thought that his life was in jeopardy. So he pulled his gun out and shot him. Got knocked on his butt.
So who's in the uproar? Who's in
the man that pushed the guy, his family is pretty much saying, with, you know, the consensus here is, you know, the guy went too far, and it should have been a fight, but instead he shot an unarmed man in front of his wife and son. Of course, the NAACP is, you know, front and center, and they want to form marches and rallies and talk about how the law is being mishandled and it's not being followed through properly. You know, like, for instance, they're saying the George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin situation was the same thing. The two got into a scrap. George Zimmerman pulled out and shot. So their thing is, we need to really review that law and touch it and fix it, so every time somebody who's scared of getting their behinds will don't pull out a gun and shoot an unarmed person.
Mm-hmm. And what law is that?
Say again?
What law is that?
That's the Stand Your Ground. The Stand Your Ground law. But
so
unfortunately,
the Stand Your Ground law says that if you're fighting somebody, you can pull out your gun and shoot them?
If you're under attack, you have the right to defend yourself. Now, the problem is, it's not clear on that. They have to, the part that needs to be touched is the under attack. If someone's trying to put hands and feet on you, you should not shoot them. You pick up your hands and feet. Now, if someone's carrying a axe, if Michael, Freddie, and Jason's coming after you, yeah, you start shooting. They have weapons.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know? But that law is never going to change because it protects too many of the, you know, those retired citizens.
Well,
you know who I'm talking about.
Well, can I say my personal feelings about that Stand Your Ground law? I think that law needs if you can rework, like, the health care, you mean tell me you can't rework that ridiculous law in Florida that protected Zimmerman? I'm still upset about that. And their laws in Florida is so bad. I told family members, I told people in my church, I said, I will never, ever step foot in that state of Florida ever again. I can't live there because I know I might get killed down there because of a stupid law.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to step foot in that state. And when one of my cousins said, I'll never forget that she said, in Florida, they don't mind letting murderers walk free.
I believe you.
And that was after the Trayvon verdict. And I said, I'm never going to step foot in that state.
A friend of mine is stationed down there, said they real prejudiced. She never seen nothing like that before. I tell you, you live one place, you're used to accustomed different things. You go somewhere else, you're like, ooh, you feel like you were living in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
But I said that they are black. The way they keep treating black people in general, I'm afraid that you're going to see an uprising or day of reckoning like you have never seen before in this country. And I know I might get disagreement, but it's coming.
It can only get worse from here.
These black people to the limit. And when they retaliate, don't say a word. I said, y'all been retaliating. You've been doing this for a long time. But when they do that to y'all, y'all want to be in the uproar.
Yeah.
It's coming. And they better be careful because I said, I hope if people got some sanity in their brains, if they go and vote and do the early vote, we can get at least 5% sanity back in this country, at least 10%. Because I'm afraid we're going to have an ugly uprising in this country like you have never, ever seen before.
You know what? I've heard that before, and some people was saying the same thing. I mean, it can only get worse from here. For unfortunately, for the United States. That's what has to happen for politicians. There's kids that need to get out and march. The white kids in the white neighborhood.
Yeah.
When the black kids march and protest,
we get ridiculed.
Yeah, we get, you know, black matter, my lives don't matter. They want to change laws and the other. It was so, a white lady told me that, brought that to my attention. She said, well, haven't the black kids been marching all this time with all these young kids dying? I just looked at her. yeah.
Well, they're not, they living in that bubble. They think they're elite and powerful.
Yeah.
But you know what? I just watched a video of the young man get shot. Okay. The shooter went up to the guy's wife's car and was asking her to move. So they were not face to face. She was in the car. He was sitting outside her door. The gentleman went in the store with his son and came out and saw, I guess, the guy yelling at his girl, and he went up and he forcefully pushed him down. Again, you know, like I said, that's, you know, I don't see anything wrong with what he did, because again, with how crazy the world is and how crazy people are, that could have been he could have easily shot his girlfriend. And now, yes, the boy is without his father, but the boy would have been without his mother as well. So it was one of the two. And I believe that was what was going to happen. I believe that he acted right and justfully, justfully to be able to stop this guy, this crazy guy, from hurting his wife or girlfriend, and it meant his life. Something definitely needs to be done about this, because I believe that this guy was waiting for somebody or trolling somebody to hurt them. That happens a lot too. We get trolled and we get put in situations where it will mean our life, and we I wouldn't say we fall into it, but we're just victims of circumstance, and we get put in a situation like that because everybody wants to try to kill a black person because they think that that's a rite of passage, I guess, or whatever, but. These are not the 1800s, 1700s, 1600s where that kind of stuff happened. So I think that it's it's sad, but we really need to make a change. And I really don't think that marching is helping the situation. Marching and going to the Capitol, we need, what else are we going to do? Because history has shown that does not do anything. It may do something. It may put a Band-Aid on it. But it does not stop the wound from bleeding.
Well,
nope.
Pastor Townsend, let me put this in perspective. During the Trayvon trial, Reverend Al Sharpton said we need to have peaceful marches and continue. I said, well, wait a minute. I disagree. I said, this is a young generation of black people are tired. They're tired of being sick and tired of the same thing. And I told him, I said, you're going to get like a radical generation that wants justice by any means necessary. If that means that they're going to retaliate against somebody's family, they might do it, and they won't have no remorse. Them days, yeah. I said, them days of having them we shall overcome and having rocking hand by hand, them days are long gone. I said, do you really think these young black millennials now want to do that?
No. Well, let me counter that real quick there, so we got 5 minutes. Some do. They just don't want to do it at the frequency that Al Sharpton wants to do it. Al Sharpton wants to mark out. He's a product of the civil rights era, so their vision of, and remember, they march to bring attention to a topic. And his philosophy is march on these topics, be loud, and so it don't stop getting news coverage. Because you know what happens in these situations, after a couple of days, the news go away, you don't hear about it anymore. So marching is supposed to bring about. That's why you see the women march for their issues that's important to them, and the gays march for the issues that's important to them. We just had a march here in Southwest Philly for three, which were organized by three young women. None of them were over 30. because their kids got killed in this city between, I think one was in 2017 and two were 2018. And they see what's happening in this part of the city. So they said, we're going to march from one end to the other. And we had a big, big turnout. So the millennials don't have a problem with marching as long as it's going to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, their thing is we'll march today, but tomorrow we're going to run over social media. We're just going to flood social media with this stuff. So I agree with you, but I kind of disagree because some will. Some won't, but some will.
Amen. And with that being said, if I march and these millennials don't have the same thought pattern that our parents raised us with. Our parents raised us to remember our history and to know what happened and to learn from it. Now you have babies raising babies. So the babies and the young parents don't even know their history, so they can't expect for their children to know the history. So now it's just like, okay, if you step on my foot, I'm going to step on yours. And I may hurt you just because you just scuffed my Jordans up that I just paid $150 for.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they think. We on the other hand, think, okay, I can go home and put me some polish and some little rub on it and we'll be all right. They don't think like that.
Yep.
So if they do march, they want action to happen after that march. And if there's no action to happen after that march, then I'm going to take the action into my own hands.
Mm-hmm.
Thus is why we have all of these shootings now, because most of the young black people don't have an understanding that, okay, listen, we know that they're going to try to kill us. We know that that's what they're all about. But guess what? I'm not going to give them the opportunity. And even the ones that do right and go through the process that they're asking them to go through, they even know, okay, you know, it's a chance that I may lose my life in this. So what can I do to try to minimize the situation? This is how we got to start thinking logically and stop allowing the other people, the other races and people in authority to gun us down like we're just wild pigs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree. All right, we're at the 2-minute warning. Does anybody want to talk about anything going on in their town?
Flynn is still the same. Flynn is still the same. We just keep praying for Flynn and keep praying that the water will become fixed and that we can drink the water and you know, go from there. We can bathe in it, but we just can't drink it.
Mm.
Man, anything you can't bathe in, you should not be drinking, and vice versa. That's some bull crap. I think I'm gonna do a show just on that whole situation down there. I'm trying to get somebody to give me some information. That's ridiculous that they haven't fixed that water situation. Ridiculous.
Yeah,
they need to jail them people.
Well,
yeah,
we definitely need to do a show on that. I got a lot of data on that. We definitely do that whenever you're ready. All right, Darius, real quick, in about 25 seconds, could you tell us what's going on in your town?
We had the government is investigating why they are trying to close Good Samaritan Hospital, which is like a block away from where I live at, because they think they don't want to operate two hospitals between the 5-mile radius. And I said, that's ridiculous. But they closed down the emergency room as of Friday, and they're going to close the rest next week.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Michelle?
We still got ICE rolling around here in with our sheriff. So when they're pulling people over, immigration is still going on, and them kids are still living in poor conditions.
Okay. And you guys also, I got some reports coming in that you guys also are having some issues with children being snatched out of the park and raped and sold for drugs. So the FBI is going to be heavy in your part of town. And Philly is falling apart with heroin addiction is on an uptick. That is all the time we have. Thank you for the team. Great job, y'all.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
We will see you guys next week.
God bless.
God bless.